Find an ass tied and a colt with her, loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And then we fast forward to a different scene, a different mood. Mark 15 and 12, and Pilate answered and said to them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him who ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. 1 week apart. Hosanna turned to crucify. And this morning, I want to preach to you the perils of palm praisers. The perils of palm praisers. Amen. Could we pray right now? In the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch my mind and my heart, my life, Lord, as I recount this message to this great congregation. Lord, that we would allow our expectations to rise in this house. Lord, that we would be in alignment with your will. I pray right now that you would fill people with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that you would move and minister right now in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. He is worthy of all praise. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you listen this morning, you can hear the crowd in the distance. There's a muffled roar of indistinguishable words, a cheer, a chant. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. If you look carefully, you can see the brightly colored holiday clothes of festive pilgrims gathering in Jerusalem. It's Passover week. It won't be long now. They're starting to prepare the lamb. They're starting to get ready for the sacrifice. The Passover is not for several days yet, but the people are restless. They're excited. And here a rumor begins to filter through the streets of the city. It stops them from their eating, their sightseeing, their merrymaking, and maybe even their napping. The Messiah has revealed himself, the whisper goes through the city. If you use your imagination for a moment, you can feel the press of the people as they gather along the road from Bethany to Jerusalem. You can smell the dust, the donkeys, and the unmistakable odor of too many unwashed people in too close a space. This morning, you could sense the almost palpable excitement in the air, and soon you will find yourself climbing a tree to break down a palm branch and straining to see through all the other waving branches. You may even find yourself shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. If you are the kind of person who thinks about things, you may even wonder, what is all this about? What is going on? Who is this man on the donkey that the people are treating him like a king? If he really is a new king, am I supposed to be his subject? Am I supposed to worship him? Am I supposed to serve him? If so, what's expected of me? And then we can imagine the disciples' hidden hopes and imagine them thinking to themselves as they approach the city, looking across the Kidron Valley at the shining city of Jerusalem, as they watch Jesus preparing to climb on the donkey's back. A stir of excitement is moved in them, and they begin to free their pent-up hopes of a king, of a Messiah. Now he's going to come into his kingdom, as they asked him. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. Let me sit on your right hand. Their hopes of this conquering king coming into Jerusalem and setting them free from Roman government. And now it is happening. They can feel it. They can sense it. Even though they've heard Jesus teach for 3.5 years, they still have these hidden hopes and these hidden desires. And they longed for this moment. They wondered if it ever happened. Once they realized what was on his mind, they did all they could to make this a truly royal procession. They draped their cloaks over the donkey's back to make Jesus' seat more comfortable and to make the donkey look more presentable. The road was already crowded with the pilgrims, and many of them knew about Jesus. So it was not hard for the disciples to stir the crowd's excitement. Jesus has proclaimed himself king. This symbol of the donkey, this symbol of the prophecy that we quoted earlier, shows that they understood what this meant. And soon the road was jammed with pilgrims and locals alike. They joined the disciples laying their clothes in front of the path of this donkey. And Jesus was honored. They broke branches and palm trees and waved them in the air. They worshiped. In fact, they worshiped so strongly that the Pharisees said, "You got to stop them. What are they doing?" And Jesus said the famous statement, "Well, if they stop, if they don't worship me, even the stones will cry out." And the danger of this process, the peril of palm praisers, is that they were excited to worship what they thought was going to be their conquering king, their Messiah, and they began to worship him. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey and upon the colt, the foal of a donkey." And so here he is fulfilling the promise that they had talked about all of their lives. However, what they did not understand is that this king that was coming, and truly, he was not just a king this morning, but he was the King of Kings. He was not just a Lord, but he was the Lord of Lords. But what they did not realize is they had their expectations and their sights set on a low bar. But what he really wanted to do was not set them free from the Romans, but he wanted to set them free from the law of sin and death. He did not want to deliver them from an oppressor of the flesh. He wanted to deliver them from an oppressor of the spirit. And if we're not careful, even in this modern age, we will bring to church our expectations of something that is not biblical. Sometimes we have expectations that God's gonna make everything perfect. God's gonna make everything downhill. Everything's gonna be rosy with no thorns. But oh, I want you to know that God's process in our life is different than what we expect sometimes. And we've got to be willing, hear me today, we've got to be willing to let God be the God that he is, not the God that we want, because the God that he is the God that we need. So he was not riding in on some white stallion with sword blazing and his armor glinting in the sunlight, but he came lowly, he came humble, he came on a donkey, he came to be the king, but it was not the king of Jerusalem. He wanted to be the king of all the earth. He wanted to be the king of salvation. He wanted to be the Lord of the joy of their salvation. And the problem with unrealized expectations is sometimes our excitement and our worship will turn to frustration. Just like these palm praisers, they expected him to ride in and kick out the Romans and overthrow Pilate and overthrow the oppressors, and for them to be a nation again that was high and lifted up like the days of Solomon. They wanted their freedom in a fleshly sense, but he wanted freedom in a spiritual sense. So the problem with palms is that once you cut the branch from the tree, they don't live very long. The problem with Palm Sunday is that the excitement of the crowd soon faded. When Good Friday rolled around, many of the same voices who shouted, "Hosanna," was now shouting, "Crucify." Their love for the Lord was shallow, based entirely on the hopes and the excitement of the things he could do for them. Too many pilgrims would get behind Jesus on the road to the throne, but they would not follow him on the way to the cross. They would wave palms before him and the coming king, but they would not obey the suffering servant. They wanted to be the ones that marched with the heroic figure that was the King of Kings, but they did not want to walk the road of suffering with the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I want you to know today that the key to being in the will of God is not the fact that we will always be happy, but the key to being in the will of God is that we are willing to fellowship not only the power of his resurrection, but the fellowship of his suffering. Not only are we willing to rise with him in the end, but we're willing to walk with him in the moment. Not only are we willing to come back victorious when he comes back to save the world from all of the things that have come against us, but we must be willing to walk with him and suffer with him. The Bible tells us that out of the 12 disciples, we know one was a betrayer, but the other 10 disappeared, hid. Peter followed at a distance, the Bible says. Peter warmed himself at the fire as Jesus was being accused and being prosecuted. And somebody looked up at Peter and said, "Oh, aren't you one of those guys that hangs out with Jesus?" "No, not me. No, you. I've seen you before. You were there. I saw you that day when he fed the 5,000. I saw him. He used your boat to speak to us from the shore. I saw you." No. And he cursed. He denied. And Jesus was suffering. And on the cross, where the crowds were thronging him just 1 week before, now there was only one disciple. One disciple and his mother stood by the cross. John, the beloved, made it all the way. And so I ask you this morning on this Palm Sunday, are you a palm praiser or are you a real worshiper? Are you here for the loaves and the fish and the blessings and the goosebumps and what the church can do for you and what it can provide for you and the fellowship and the fun and the coffee and the food and the fat pills or the donuts? Brother Ogar calls them fat pills. Are you here for that? Are you here for him? Because if you're really here for him, it's much different than what you might expect. It's a way of denial. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Oh, but wait, I want to march with you. I want to dance with you. I want to ride into the city victorious with you. But no, that's not this way. That's not this way. This way is a way of denial, of discipline, of suffering, of obedience. Amen. We've got to be willing to be a true worshiper. But the hour cometh and now is, John 4:23, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Paul said to the church at Philippi in chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Now, I notice that many of us, we listen to this part, that I may know him. I want to know the Lord better, right? And we want to know him in the power of his resurrection. Of course, that's joyful. We want the power of his resurrection. Power, yes, right? And then there's some of us that even say, you know, we even do lip service to the fellowship of his suffering. But what the scripture ends with, that we are being made conformable unto his death. I want you to know that this is a beautiful way. It's a wonderful way. It's the way called holiness, the Bible says. It's a highway of holiness. There's no vultures there. There's no lion's whelp there. It's a place where he protects us and keeps us. But I will tell you that it is not an easy road. He never promised us that everything would be perfect, but he did promise us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He never promised us that we would always be on the mountaintop, but he did say that if you go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be there. You will not be alone, but I will be with you. I want you to know that he is a God of the high times and the low times. He is everywhere in between. And so if I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I go into the mountains, you are there. If I'm in the battle, you are there. If I'm standing on the platform of victory, you are there. But I want you to know today, as Way of Life Church, the perils of palm praisers is that too many times we want to worship when it's good, but we want to run when it's bad. Oh, it won't be long if you want to find out who your real friends are. You just go through a tough time, you'll find out who your real friends are. And when the things are down and the roof collapses and you're cleaning out an old grocery store that's falling apart to have church and everything's red, oh my word. It's my least favorite color. Brother Ben loves red. I don't love red. I want it blue. Something gray. But when everything's colored the wrong color, when everything's not quite as comfortable as it was, you find out who the faithful are. Hallelujah. And the peril with palm praisers that they worship when things are good, when they're going their way. But the problem with too many of us is that we have expectations that are false expectations. And so today I want us to be a Way of Life church that understands we are here to worship. We're here to stay. We're here to serve and we're here to love. And we're not just here for Palm Sunday, but we're going to be here for Easter. We're not just going to be here for Easter, but we're going to be there on Good Friday when the suffering is happening. We're going to be there on the day in between. I think I always say that the day in between is probably the darkest day. There's so much uncertainty on the day in between. He died on one day, he rose on the other, but the day in between was a day of fear and doubt. Did we really serve the right person? Did we really follow the right man? Even though he told us to, but now we're running for our lives. We're fearful. And so today, we need to be the people of God that is not just in it for the palms, but we're in it for the nails. We're not just in it for the procession, but we are in it for the funeral. We're not just in it for what is good. We're in it to win it. Through the battle, through the tough times. Churches around the world today are littered with palm praisers. People who praise the idea of Jesus as their king, and they lack the understanding and the commitment to allow him to be the one that goes to the cross. And so this morning, let us follow him, not just through the triumphal entry, but let us follow him to the place of judgment. Let us follow him to the place of scourging. Let us stay with him through the crowning of thorns and through the spitting on his face and through the suffering. Amen. The musicians will come. We've got to keep our palms open. When we worship the Lord like this, right? We got our palms open. Why do we serve the Lord with an open hand? My pastor, Brother Hargrove, always said, serve the Lord with an open hand. That way he can put in my hand what he wants me to have. And he can remove what I don't need. And so that means everything he brings to me and everything he takes from me. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And so today, could we be a way of life that serves the Lord with an open palm? Not just palm praisers for the moment. Not palms that turn into fists of frustration when he doesn't show up the way we want him to show up. When he doesn't tell us what we want to hear. When he doesn't bring us out of the storm, but he rides the storm out with us. That's what happened during Holy Week. The palm praisers turned to frustrated crowds. Instead of crying, Hosanna, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now they're saying, crucify him. And what they had no way of knowing, and what sometimes we forget, is that he had to suffer. He had to die for the real victory to be won. If he would have ridden in on a white stallion with his sword blazing and kicked out the Romans, it would have been a temporary moment, a temporary kingdom, a temporary throne. But because he rode in on a donkey, he submitted himself to the power of the cross. He set us free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Can we stand? Could we open the eyes of our mind again? Could we open the ears of our heart again? Could we hear the bleating of sheep as they are led to Passover? Could we get a fresh glimpse of a Savior that loved us so much that he wasn't willing to be enthroned for the moment, but he allowed himself to be hung on the cross? So this Palm Sunday of triumph, thank God he's coming. Thank God he's coming. Thank God the Messiah is here. But oh, let my expectations of him, let them be what he wants to be, what he needs to be in my life. Hallelujah. I don't want him just to kick out the enemy for a moment, but I want him to set me free from the law of sin and death. I want him to shed his blood so that I can be washed in the waters of baptism. I want him to break down the wall of partition so that now his spirit can come to me and in me and fill me. These altars are open right now. Let us come. Let us come. Let us let him be the Messiah that he wants to be. Listen, let him be exactly what he wants to be today. If you're in this house and you want the Holy Ghost, you can receive it right now. All you have to do is repent and lift your hands and begin to worship God. Open your mouth. Speak to him. And stop worrying about what it sounds like. Just let him take control today. If you're here and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, the Bible tells us that it is a command, not a suggestion. You need to be baptized today. Hallelujah. We have water. We have towels. We have robes. We can baptize you today. Oh, can we all come? Can we just find a place? Can we find a place? Hallelujah. Can we go past the triumphal entry? And we make our way up to the cross today. Hallelujah. Can we get a fresh glimpse today? Hallelujah.